continuing on this series, and I'll wrap it up next week. Today, I'm going to do two of the points. It's a little warm in here. Can you drop that AC a little bit? Last week, we had the girls covered in layers of blankets, and this week, I see fans waving, so let's go ahead and drop that a little bit. But I'm continuing on the five New Testament reasons why the church should be flowing in signs and wonders and miracles. And I believe that God is bringing the church, His church, back to the Book of Acts church. Somebody say amen. I believe God is trying to design His church the way that He wants it to look and not how man has tried to make church look like. Church isn't supposed to be, and it is, it's a natural success, but we're believing God for kingdom success. We're believing for lives to be changed and transformed and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our mission statement for the church, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see it on the walls and on the back wall. But our mission statement is that we want you to know God, number one. Know who God is and have a revelation of God the Father. Number two, we want you to find freedom. Freedom from your past, freedom from regret, freedom from whatever the enemy weighs over you, right? I'm talking about inside out freedom of the Holy Spirit and healing. Then we want you to discover your purpose. Why are you here on earth? Why does God have you in 2018 breathing air? Amen. It's not just to have a great family, and that's awesome, and it's all those things, but you have a purpose and a destiny on your life. And we need to find out what is that gift on the inside of you so that you can live the joy of the Lord in finding your purpose. And then the last thing we want you to do is make a difference in life. Amen. Not only make a difference in your own life, but make a difference in other people's lives. And so that's why we at Faith Builders, we want to be a balance, a true full gospel word church, that we want the word of God and we want the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we've been so adamant in what we declare from this pulpit, that we believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that is a lost art in the gospel today. It seems like we want to go around all of that because the world doesn't understand it or religion doesn't understand it. But I believe God is bringing His church back to that manifestation. I was listening to a preacher this weekend. I stayed a little late in my office and watched this conference. Does anybody remember Mark Barclay? Okay, all right. He's got to try to reach the millennials, but Mark Barclay is a powerful prophet, and he pastors a church and just a strong man of God. I haven't heard from him in a while, and I noticed on social media he was hosting this conference, and what I loved about what I watched is he's saying the same thing that we are saying here at Faith Builders. He's even got a t-shirt that says, "Yes, we're that kind of church." And I love it because it's just so in sync with what God is doing here in our church. Amen. And I believe in probably multiple churches across the city. I believe the Lord is speaking to congregations just like this. And He said one of the things that you're going to see a turn come back to the kingdom of God is you will hear tongues in the pulpits on Sunday mornings again. And that just ignited my spirit because the tongues are for the unbeliever. You know, and we're not supposed to be, you know, we want the balance, and we don't want you to be flake bakes out there and acting cray cray. But we also want that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I believe God is taking His church back to the early church. I believe He's taking us back to what the book of Acts looked like. And when in the book of Acts, when they got born again, it didn't stop there. In that same moment, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And in that same moment, they spoke in other tongues. And in that same moment, they had signs, wonders, and miracles. And yet in the American church, we're so thankful they're getting born again. But then it takes months later and they finally get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then maybe at some time in their life, they might see a miracle. When in God's church and how God wants the Spirit to move, they should be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and delivered from drug addiction right now. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the kind of church that I believe the Lord is building. Amen. So let's talk about some reasons why God wants the New Testament church to flow in signs and wonders. Number three, I'm going to just jump right into my third point. You can jump online and listen to past teachings. I also have notes posted on there, sermon notes. You can go download sermon notes if you missed some of them. But I want to get right into this today, is that, you know, the Word of God is full of healings in the Bible. Healings is not a made-up name in the local church where signs, wonders, and miracles just sounds like a good thing to say. It is throughout the Word of God. If you go from Genesis to Revelations, you are going to find miracle after miracle after miracle. Sometimes we think miracles started in the New Testament, but that's not true. There are so many miracles in the Old Testament that God performed. I quickly made a few notes of them, but Hezekiah was dying. Matter of fact, God said, "You're going to die, and I'm going to take you home with me." God told Hezekiah that. And the Bible says that Hezekiah turned his back and begged the Lord, "Please let me live my life a little while longer." And you know what? God changed his mind. Because we serve a miracle working God. Amen. So you got Hezekiah, you got Hannah, who was barren. And in the Old Testament, God opened up her womb and blessed her with a child. Amen. A kingly priest that came out of her womb. Elisha prayed for a barren woman to conceive a child. So throughout the whole Word of God, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And so if God made it so clear in His Word in the New and the Old Testament, why aren't we seeing signs, wonders, and miracles today when we're called to? It's because we're not a conscious church. We're not conscious of moving in the miraculous. Unfortunately, we live in a season of life where we are an entitlement generation. And the Church of America has taken on that mentality. I'm entitled. God owes me this miracle. God owes me the blessing. I go to church. I show up faithfully. I maybe tithe, right? So we have this entitlement nature for ourselves instead of being kingdom-minded and become others conscious where the harvest is ripe. See, as a believer, the Bible says you're to pray one for another that you may be healed. So when I'm praying for someone, that means I have a brokenness. That means maybe I'm discouraged about something. Maybe God hasn't showed His glory to me yet, but I'm not going to think about me. I'm going to go to the world and I'm going to lay hands on them. I'm going to prophesy the word of the Lord over their life and over their children's life. And God says, when I do that, my healing comes forth to me. But you see, all the churches got it backwards. We're all into ourselves. And we're trying to take the Word of God and what can the Word do for me? Now, is there anything wrong with that? No. There's a time where the Word of God should be for us. There's a time where the Word's going to equip me. The Word's going to grow me up. The Word's going to deal with my sin. The Word's going to deal with my behaviors, right? The Word's going to deal with many things in my life. But there comes a time where I have to grow up in Christ Jesus. It's time to put up our spiritual boots, amen, and start being men and women of God and quit saying, what can the Word do for me? And say, what can I give to the world the power of God in demonstration? We got to quit being afraid of sharing the gospel of Jesus. We got to quit being afraid of saying, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Wednesday night, I prayed for 3 people, and every one of them got baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This morning, my sweet sister came forward. I said, do you have the Holy Spirit? She's like, well, I've been trying. I said, well, you're not going to try anymore. You're going to speak in tongues today. Why? Because I know God's going to show up. I know God's going to be faithful according to His Word. I'm just a vessel, right? I'm just a vessel, but we have to be willing to be bold and courageous. If they don't have the Holy Spirit, it is time for you to have the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'll do a teaching on tongues, and I'm preparing it right now because I want you to understand that. But the prayer language is praying the perfect will of God. When you don't know what to pray, you pray in the prayer language. It is the conversation of God. Who would like to have a real conversation with God? God gave us this tool, temporary, here on earth. We won't need this language in heaven because we're going to be in the glory of God. But I need the language of God here on earth. I need the language of God when I don't know what I'm going to go through or how I'm going to get through it when I don't know the answer. I need to talk God talk. It's not around a bunch of Christians running around speaking in tongues like a bunch of maniacs. No, it's the language of God. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray in my prayer language. I'm going to talk God talk because I want the will of God in my day. I want the power of God in my day. I want the voice of God in my ears. I want the Holy Spirit to be the leader and the guider of my day, of my month, of my year. Amen. And when you're praying, the Bible says you're activating the gifts of God on the inside of you. And when you pray in your spirit, you are not praying in a natural, but you're praying in a supernatural voice. And so that means the earth suit and the carnal mind steps out of the way, and the Spirit of God now has preeminence. Thank you. He is number one in your life. He is number one in your thoughts now. He is number one in your decisions, because you've let the flesh get out of the way, and now you're letting the Spirit arise in you. It's time to get bold. When I prayed for my sister this morning, I was like, you don't have an option. You're going to speak in tongues right now. And she's like, oh my gosh. I said, no, speak right now. Speak right now. And you know what? She came out, spoke by faith. Why? Because people are wanting you. People are wanting the truth. They're looking for boldness. They're looking for direction. And it's our responsibility with authority. That's going to change her life forever. The young boy that got baptized with the Holy Spirit changed his life forever. My life was radically changed when I was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. There's power in that. Amen. There was a young man I was praying for. I won't say his name, but I thought he was filled with the Holy Spirit already, you know. So he came up on a Wednesday night. He's going through his own personal struggles. And I'm like, I just thought, you know, I'm going to charge him up to speak in tongues. I'm like, all right, pray in tongues right now. And he was like, really? I'm like, no, pray in tongues loud. Pray. In my mind, I'm going, he's going to pray in tongues. He's going to get so set free and on fire. I'm just kind of activating him. And all of a sudden, he just starts praying a little louder, a little louder. I'm like, yeah. And I walked away going, I really wish he'd have prayed even stronger. You know, I was kind of bullying this guy to pray in tongues. And I got an email the next day in my inbox. And he's like, yeah, I just want you to know the reason why I was praying quiet was because I've never prayed in tongues before. And I'm going, pray in tongues. Get the Holy Ghost. I am so sorry for bullying you into that. But you know what? Sometimes the world needs that. I've got the good news. I've got the power. I've got the freedom of God. And I want you to be set free so bad. Amen. I'm going to exercise that power of God in my life. So let's talk about this for a few minutes. James 5, verses 14 through 15. Just want to show you some scriptures in the Word. It says this, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. What does God want to do? He wants to heal people. He wants to deliver them, not just sickness in their body, but in their hearts and in their minds. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is what the Word of God says. Go to Isaiah 53, verse 5. If you haven't read Isaiah 53 yet, read that whole chapter, because Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of Christ thousands of years. This is the fulfillment of prophecy thousands of years before Jesus came on the earth. But it says this, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Through the cross, Jesus said, through my stripes, I've healed you. Through my stripes, I've raised you up. Through my stripes, I've forgiven you. Through my stripes, I've set you free from addictions. Through my stripes, I've given you the victory and the liberty that you need. The stripes on the cross and the body on the cross was not just for eternal life. Thank God we're going to meet him in eternity one day. But I want that power manifesting here on earth now. And that's the claim that we have at the cross. We are pointing people to the cross of Christ and what he did on that cross. Go to, I'm going to skip Peter. Go to James 5, verse, I think it's 6. And it says this. Pray. It says, you have condemned, you have murdered the just. I don't think that's the right verse. 16. That's okay, sis. Never mind. Pray one for another that you may be healed. That's the James verse. Pray one for another that you may be healed. God wants healing to be manifested on this earth. God wants miracles to happen here on earth. He sent his son for that. not just for glory in the sweet by and by, but for a church that will rise up with the glory of God, which we learned strong for 2 weeks in a row. Rise up and pray for the people. Amen. Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Remember, your responsibility isn't for them to be healed. Your responsibility is to lay hands on them. That's it. And the more people you lay hands on, the more chances of a miracle in the moment. But it's important that they feel God. So the third thing that we do, why God does signs and wonders, is because he wants to confirm his word. And I showed you a few of those scriptures about God healing and throughout the whole Old Testament and New Testament. It's because God wants the world to see that his word is yes. And it is amen. That if God said he heals, we need to be a demonstration of healing. If God says there's going to be wonders, we need to be a demonstration of wonders. The world needs to see the real church arise. Needs to see the real church arise in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The world is looking for the real, and we are hiding in caves. Because the world has shamed us. The world has been like a Goliath. The world seems so much bigger than us. But you know the strength of the world. If you look at society and what's bullying the church right now, it is only 3% of people. 3% of human nature has risen up and made the church sulk and go away in our belief system. 3%. It's one Goliath that's trying to shut the mouth of the church. One giant that says we have to be careful what we say and how we say it. And we can't talk about the Holy Spirit because people won't get it. That is a Goliath. And the Davids of the church needs to rise up and say, who do you think you are to defile my God? This day, I'm going to take my sling and I'm going to hit you and I'm going to cut your head off. And I'm going to run to the city for them to see the victory of God. And God's going to redeem me. Amen. God wants you to rise up as David, cut the head of the Goliath off, talk about Jesus, talk about the Holy Spirit, talk about getting people filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the devil would love more than anything to shut up the church and say God's word isn't true. And it is true. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 14. Thank you, Judy. I heard you all the way up here. Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed, right? They had an encounter with Jesus. They believed the gospel. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Verse 3. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. The disciples weren't intimidated about the resistance. The disciples weren't intimidated about those that were resisting or poisoning the other people. They said, we have an assignment to change the mind of those that are trying to poison the truth. So they didn't run away from it. They stayed a long time speaking boldly in the Lord, who is bearing witness to what? The word of his grace. Why did they stay longer? They wanted God's word to be confirmed. And how was it confirmed? Granting them signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Everywhere the disciples went, signs and wonders followed them. The word wonders there is so powerful when you study it out. It means this. It means unexplainable phenomenon. That's a wonder. Blinded eyes opening. Unexplainable. Tumors disappearing. Unexplainable. Those are things that don't make sense with the natural mind, but that's a wonder of God. How many, I know we have a family here from the Philippines, but there's this video in the Philippines about this storm that was coming to their city. I don't know what city it was in. And they were having a Bible study, and that storm was coming right for them for destruction. And all the Christians went towards the fence and started speaking in tongues against that storm. I mean, you can hear it. They're praying in tongues, and they're praying the word, and they're speaking what? The wonders of God. It doesn't make sense that that storm's going to reroute and turn. That doesn't make sense. Most people would bear down and wait for destruction. But men and women of God says, no destruction shall come nigh my dwelling. No disease belongs to me. There's no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I move in the wonders of God. So when you rise up and you declare that thing, that storm, literally, you can see it on the video, turns courses and begins to go the other direction. God wants us to move in unexplainable phenomena. It doesn't make sense. Amen. Extraordinary occurrences causes the observer to marvel or be in awe. I want to see those kind of things happen in my life. I want to be walking through Sprouts and just see that. Remember my little drug addict friend, I'm believing God, that I can lay hands on her and just see that demon wreathe from her and see the freedom of Christ transform her. That's a wonder. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense that God would take that nobody cares about, a drug addict, meth addict, living on the streets in a suitcase, that God would care enough for somebody to show up and show the wonders of God and see her life transformed. You think that ain't possible? That's possible. We serve a great big God. But if we are all into ourselves, we're not even thinking about other people when we're going to Sprouts. We're not even thinking about other people when we're at the gas station, are we? I mean, you don't have to shake your head or anything. It's okay. I'm speaking to you to stir up your spirit. I'm trying to activate something on the inside of you that I know is in there. God wants to move through you. He is waiting for the church to arise. Amen. And I'm hoping that this, and I know it is, I'm not hoping, I know it's activating you on the inside. They moved in signs and wonders by their own hands. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 2, verses 3 through 4. Give you a couple more scripture verses. Hebrews 2, verses 3 through 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Verse 4 says this, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. God's going to validate you. God's not going to leave you hanging when you step out by faith. If anything, when you reach out to someone, they're going to feel the presence of God. They're going to feel the love of God. If there's anything, you can walk away confidently and assured that when you lay hands on someone, they're going to feel the presence of God. And it's that presence that is life-changing. Amen? So God's going to be there for you. All right, let's go over to Mark chapter 16. Matthew, Mark chapter 16 says this. Verses 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. How many believe in Jesus today? I know you do. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Everybody hold your hands up like this. It's your hands. It's God in you. It's the glory of God in you. God wants signs, wonders, and miracles to flow through your hands. Just keep your hands lifted. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the anointing in this house to touch everyone in this room. We thank you that the anointing is in their hands, even this very moment, that God, they will lay hands and see the signs, wonders, and miracles follow them. We thank you for the gift of faith to be released over every one of our hearts right now, God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you stir us up, that you activate us as a church, Father God, that we're not going to lay apathetic. We're not going to lay down and say, give me another word. We're going to rise up and be the church that you've called us to be, Father God. We receive the clarion call. We receive the assignment of the Holy Spirit over this church and over my life and over our hands, Father God. I decree and declare that where they go, Holy Spirit, you will follow them. You will stir them up. You will activate them when they're about their 24/7 week, Lord God. And that, God, you're going to trouble our hearts to be so troubled about you in this season, God. And we're going to have boldness and courage flow through our lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, you'll lay hands and you'll speak with new and they shall recover. Amen. Go to verse 19. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus finished his work, right? He gave you, says what you're going to do. Jesus went away. Verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them. See, they took the assignment, and when you go out with this assignment, you have to see the Lord is coming alongside and working with you. You don't go out in the world in your own ability. You're not going out in your own weakness of your earth suit and how you think about yourself. You have God coming alongside of you. That means a synergy, working together by the Holy Spirit. So when you step out faith, God's going to show up, and you're going to have a word for someone. That's where the gift of word of knowledge comes in. Amen. That's where you start prophesying into someone's life, the word of the Lord. So God's going to come along and partner with you when you're sharing Jesus. You think, well, I don't have anything to say. Yes, you do. You have more in you than you realize. You are a word church. You guys have so much of the word in you. You just don't have a place to express it, to know what's in there. You're going to be shocked what's going to come out of you when you start going to the harvest and plucking them up. You have so much to give away, amen? We're afraid. And that's why Wednesday nights we're going to be teaching basically the school of how to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. We want to equip you because you're to go to the highways and byways. Amen? God wants you to see fruit hanging from your tree, not just us as pastors. We have a lot of fruit. It's time for you to produce some fruit. Amen? And then your children will produce fruit. And then your children's children, we're talking about a legacy for the kingdom of God. Amen. So they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the what? Word. Why do signs and wonders come? To confirm the word of God, to show that God's word is true, that it's living and powerful and active in 2018, that we just don't serve a drive-by God. Amen. We're not Dutch brothers, drive-by happiness. I don't really like Dutch brothers. I'm sorry. I know. I know. I got to preach on idols, y'all. I'm putting a new message together. I just touched your idol. Some of you better fast your Dutch brothers this week. Get in touch with the Holy Spirit. They've got two Dutch brothers, like, on one corner, and they're right across, and they're both packed in Peoria. Packed. I don't know what y'all think about it. 11 p.m. too. No, it's true. I'm like, if church was only like that. Cecil had a vision of our church line. People are lined up to the back. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Lining up. Can't wait to get into church. Why? Because the world and Christians are looking for truth, aren't they? We really are. We're looking for hope, and we have the answer. So what was God doing? Confirming the word through the accompanying signs. It's wonderful. That word confirming means this. It was to corroborate. You know what that word means. It's a corroboration. But it also means this. God was backing up their message with supernatural phenomenon. Supernatural phenomenon. So when God was confirming the word, he means, I got your back. When you step out by faith, you just have to envision that God's got your back. He's going to corroborate with you. He's going to be the guarantee of the word of God. He's the deliverer of the promise. Amen. So he says, I've got your back, and that a new dispensation and the age of grace has entered the world. Our world needs a new dispensation of the Holy Spirit to be entered in. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit that is here on earth. Amen. And serving in this capacity, and I'm not going to get to point four. We'll get there next week. I'm going to close. But in serving in the capacity that you're going to serve in the world, listen, it is not about you. And honestly, I want you to hear me clearly. It's not about the sign and the wonder. It is about what the sign and the wonder is pointing to. And when you can see it in that respect, it's not about me getting glory. This is a selfless act to minister. And I know in Christianity, I've been around this for a long time. People start getting their head real big. They start thinking they're super spiritual and super powerful. Now they're the prophet to the world. And no, that's all flesh. That's all flesh. When you move in wonders, you step back and God gets the glory. God's word is honored. We show the glory of God. Amen. When you have a sign, a billboard, that billboard means nothing unless it has a direction on it. So you are just a billboard out there for Christ. You're a sign saying, I'm pointing the wonders of just what happened to my great Savior. Amen. Glory to God. And then the world's eyes begin to open and they start seeing the true God, the living God, the all-powerful God, the loving God. We learned last week that God's through signs and wonders, this shows the heart of the Father. The world wants to see, the world needs to see the love of God through demonstration, signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. It's time for the church to move into that. And I hope that you're excited about that. All right. Let me close with this scripture. John 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John 4, 46 through 50. Guys, doing good today? I love you all so much. So great. 46 through 50. So Jesus came again to Canaan of Galilee, which we learned, where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at that point, at the point of death. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Now, when I've heard this story before, and I've seen it from a different perspective, that almost Jesus, I thought, was kind of mad. Oh, none of y'all are going to believe unless you see a sign and wonder. Has anybody ever heard it that way before? I almost felt like Jesus was rebuking. But as I've been putting this teaching together and looking at it from a different aspect, he's saying, no, they're not going to believe or see my glory until they see a miracle. When they see the miracle, they're going to be what? They're going to believe the word of God. And so what did Jesus do? He said, verse 50, Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. See, the world is going to believe in Jesus because why? You demonstrate him. When you lay hands on a sick child and they get healed, that family is going to go, what church do you go to? Maybe they might be like the one blind man that never showed back up to Jesus, but that may be the one that says, I got to go find the Jesus that just healed me. Right? And we don't know which one that is, but it's our responsibility to be out there. Amen. Okay. All right. Let's close there, y'all. Next week, we'll get into number 4. I won't promise I'll get into number 5. Number 3. Yes. So I just finished 3, y'all. You can take that down in your notes, and it's already actually up online. Signs and wonders are to confirm God's word. You learned something new today?
Yeah.
Hopefully inspired and provoked. Don't think it's strange when you're out there that God begins to speak to you. How many have already been kind of like God's been speaking to you? See? All over this room. I know all of us have been. Because God is calling this church to do that. I believe God is building faith builders on that. I really do. Can God build a church? The Bible says in Acts that when the Lord grew the church 3,000 after the baptism, the Lord grew the church. So I believe God wants to build his church his way. Amen. Look like he wants it to look. And I want to be bold enough and courageous enough to say we are going to honor the Lord and we're going to honor the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe the Lord will do what he wants to do. Amen. All right, I'm getting all these fingers pointed at me. Come on up, praise team. I want to give every one of you can close your eyes an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want to make sure that you leave here knowing for surety that you are going to be with Jesus, that you have not only just said a prayer, that you've really made a surrender commitment to the Lord. So I want everybody just to say this prayer with me out loud. Those of you who are saying it for the first time, you can say it right along, and we won't even know it's your first time. We want to make sure you make a confession of the one you love, the one you're willing to surrender everything to. So I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my heart. Show me who you are. Reveal true relationship to me that I can know you better. And Father God, I'm asking you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire and give to me the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I receive that gift today in the name of Jesus. With all eyes still bowed, I want all of us just to gently just pray in the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're going to pray in the Holy Spirit for the first time. I want you just to step out by faith. Just gently just pray in the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you don't pray in tongues yet, just begin to pray by faith. Some of you are going to get stirred up even right now. I just feel the Holy Spirit just touching some of you right where you're seated by praying in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a prayer that's going to come from the inside, not from the outside. Just begin to follow and your own will come forth, I promise you. Just allow the confidence of God. Lord, stir them up today. Activate the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, God. We thank you for a true baptism of the Holy Spirit, not of man or emotions, but a true baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hear the Lord say, some of you I'm refreshing. Some of you I'm awakening even in this room this morning. I'm allowing my truth to rise up on the inside of you. I'm allowing my glory to rise up on the inside of you. I hear the Lord say, some of you are just been waned away and you've been a dry and dreary land, but the Lord says, I am stirring that up even this very moment as you pray and build up your most holy faith. We thank you for the tongues and the interpretation of gifts today, Father God. I thank you that you are stirring them up and you are activating them right now in their most holy faith in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you and we give glory to you, God. Jesus' precious name. I know we prayed for people already this morning, but I'm going to invite my pastors and elders forward, and I'm going to release you. But if you want additional prayer for praying in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, come on forward. We'll pray with you that power of agreement. And just going to believe God for some big things. Amen. Amen. I love you all so much. Appreciate you, Father. We thank you for what you've done here this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're having your way in this church and in our lives and in their families. We give glory and honor to you. We send them off safely, hedge of protection, angels guarding them on the north, south, east, and west. And we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.